Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Stop shuffling through life like a zombie. You're bumming everybody out. Grab a CardoMax Energy Intensifier and wake up. Owned and operated by former Navy SEAL Sean Mattson, CardoMax's Energy Intensifier will help you power through your workouts and dead afternoons with vitamins B3, B6, B12, caffeine, and BCAAs. Use the promo code DB to get 30% off your next four orders at CardoMax.com. That's CardoMax.com, helping you achieve your max. Welcome to Drinking Bros, kids. Special guest Norm MacDonald today. Sorry. He would have loved that joke. For what it's worth, he would have loved that joke. Pardon My American is actually here today, our new show that we just signed to Tetherball Academy Media. But you guys show up, and then one of our favorite comedians dies. So what the fuck, guys?
Yeah, we kind of brought that's the death with us, I guess.
Man, that sucks. So we just heard about it, and I did not know privately he was battling cancer for 10 years.
Yeah,
that's what they said.
Apparently no one knew.
No one. He didn't tell anybody. He wanted to be about the comedy. If you haven't seen him, by the way, and the reason why I led with that joke is he used to say the most shocking shit of all time.
Oh, yeah.
And he pushed it so much that, God, if memory serves me correct, I think he was the first guy that Lorne Michaels like actually hated on SNL, and they wanted him fired.
Yeah.
And, I mean, like literally every single day, like, we've got to fire Norm MacDonald. And they eventually did. But
he's a legend, though, man.
Well, the cast kept sticking up for him, and they were like, hey, dude, we love Norm. Like, he's the fucking best. And they were like, you love him because he'll say shit that no one else will say. And I was like, yeah, that's why we love him.
He told the same three jokes for like 7 years on that show.
Yeah.
It was Monica Lewinsky or fucking, well, OJ was a big one too, I guess. But Frank Stallone and what was the other one? Hasselhoff.
Yeah.
It was those four things.
Yes.
Yeah. Every fucking episode Frank Stallone, for years.
I remember that one.
Frank Stallone. Yeah. Every single.
How do you hide that for 10 years? From your family.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about it. I mean, he is talked about it earlier. Chadwick Boseman.
That's true.
Chadwick Boseman did it for 10 years. So
that was three for him.
Oh, was it really?
Kind of less than three, but yeah, it was pretty quick for him.
He looked pretty bad at the end, though. It was pretty, I think.
Chadwick Boseman?
Yeah, you could tell that it was.
Yeah, when was Norm's last public appearance?
Well, he was still doing shows, right? Yeah, he was scheduled to do a show in November in New York, so clearly he thought he was going to be around. But man, did he, every roast he's ever done, all of it, he was the one guy who would just say the worst shit in the room.
Yes.
Over and over and over again. You were like, oh my God, there's no way you said it. And you're like, yeah, it's Norm MacDonald. Of course.
Yeah. He, I saw him at Cobb's Comedy Club with Todd Barry actually in San Francisco one time. And immediately, this is San Francisco in 2016, immediately starts just hammering on transgender people.
Oh yeah.
Like hard. And I'm just like, I'm looking around, I'm like, oh shit, here we go. My girlfriend who's super liberal sitting next to me, I'm like, oh, this is gonna be a fight later. Because I'm gonna laugh at everything he says.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was.
Well, we were just in San Francisco and there was quite a few trans people on the plane around there. It's
That's like
it's a community.
It looks like the capital there now.
Yeah.
From Hunger Games.
We called them all Travis. I don't know if that's appropriate or not, but we had a couple Travises on the plane with us. They were fine. They're cool. Yeah.
Travis.
I don't know why. I'm not sure. It just fit. Just
TR. It's kind of alliteration.
Yeah.
It's also
There you go.
There you go.
I don't say it.
You can say whatever you want on the show. We don't give a shit. Very Norm MacDonald-esque here.
Yes.
We just do not fucking care.
Yes.
Pardon My American. You guys are a political podcast, one would say.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
A little bit.
Yeah. Super left. You guys are super.
Yeah. We're 45 minutes north of Portland, so you know we absorb all that liberal ideology. And
it's
we
fucking crazy.
Spew it.
You guys are from Portland, and you do a conservative show.
Yeah.
You guys have a ton of followers on Instagram, YouTube. You may have been banned from Spotify.
I think so.
Dude, yeah. We were just talking about that.
We've tried to work that out. It's not being worked out. But hey.
Yeah. What do you think it was? Because I think it was right around the election, right?
It was after the election.
It was the hydroxy, you know what, the medications that we were talking
about. Chloroquine.
Whatever
the fuck you said.
Yeah.
It was right around the big C, little V. That's what we like to call coronavirus around here.
We talked about the big
C, little V a little too heavy. And I think that they were like, that's no bueno. We got this thing called a vaccine coming out. Yep. And
we're all good here.
A lot of people stand to make a lot of money
on
that.
Yep.
And it, so how do you not read that in the tea leaves? People were talking about, well, there's a couple of things. One, let's go hard on us. This is what got you guys banned.
Yeah, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
You cannot authorize a V if there is an existing, for an emergency use authorization, if there's an existing treatment already in the books. Mm-hmm. Nope. One that, by the way, costs like 25 cents per pill,
absolutely,
give or take.
Yeah.
And then you move forward to the V actually getting distributed anyways, and now it's like multiple shots.
Yep.
Dude, this is, yeah, you're getting scammed. This is a fucking used car salesman.
Yeah.
He keeps like, oh, what about this? It's like when you buy an airline ticket and they're like, oh, bags. They're like, yeah, you got bags? Yeah. What the fuck are you doing? Get the fuck out of here. I mean, for 80 bucks, we'll take them, but. Like, no, you knew I was bringing
bags. Well, and the constant moving of the goalposts is what's considered to you be acceptable in the society now. Mm. Is like,
well, Big Pharma's making a ton of bank, and their buddies in government are helping them out tremendously.
Oh, that's
so all the other medications that are offered or available are much cheaper, obviously. So, and to see, you know, they're more effective in general.
Yeah.
From what it seems. I'm not going to say that that's the case, but from what it seems, you know.
What's it like hosting a conservative show in Portland, the heart of Antifa? I mean, it's fucking insane. Yeah. When we called you guys, because we were fans of your show, your production is great, your sound quality, everything was great, and you have a fan base built in. And I said, hey, where are you guys from? And you said Portland. I was like, I thought it was a fucking joke.
Yeah.
Why stay during all of that, and how bad is it?
Well, so we grew up in Longview, which is 45 minutes north. It's actually Southwest Washington.
Okay. Yeah.
But we all have worked in Portland. I worked in Portland for 11 years downtown. Greg's worked in the area.
Dude, you've worked there the longest.
The longest, for sure. And it's bad. But where we're at, Calhous County, that's pretty red, man. It's pretty red where we're at.
It's a small county.
Yeah, it's a small county. It's pretty, they were pretty for Trump. It's, you know, it's red, conservative. So, but Portland is, oh, man.
It's a different beast.
It's falling apart at the seams right now. And, I mean, the homelessness, the radicalization, Proud Boys and Antifa.
Just businesses are continually they're just boarding up their windows?
Yeah.
Oh, we got it?
Yeah, is it that bad?
It's
like,
bad.
Like, yeah, for real?
It gets pretty bad in Portland.
Yeah, their windows are still boarded up everywhere.
Yeah, a lot of downtown is.
So I had to go after work. I had to go shopping. Uh-huh. And downtown used to be, I mean, we used to go to concerts there. I mean, all the time. We go to concerts. Everybody's downtown. The food's great in Portland. It was great in Portland. And if you go down right now, there's a few cars, a lot of stragglers, a lot of boarded up buildings, and a lot of homeless, man. And nobody wants to go downtown.
Yeah.
And they're migrating up north to where we're at. So it's kind of the great migration.
How long are you guys going to stay there, you think?
I think we're planning on, I mean, we're all debating. Greg's not fast, but I'm thinking next summer we'll be out. So we'll be in Texas, I'm thinking.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. Well, look, we just bought a 3-acre estate, if you will, for all the podcasts to be housed at. Yeah. So you guys are obviously welcome.
And
to,
the homeless? We can bring some?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Take a few Antifa, bring them down here.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard to get labor right now.
Figure it
it's
out.
Hard to get help. So.
We'll take anybody.
Yeah, well, Antifa tried to set up an autonomous zone here, and they got ridden out of town by police on horseback.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes.
Oh.
Which is pretty Texas. I don't know if there's anywhere else. Maybe Montana that could happen these days, but probably just Texas.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
who
Portland,
else?
They just, you know, people walk by and just donate to them constantly. I'm
So. I would donate.
Same thing with Seattle. They're just like, okay, let's let this go for a little while and see what happens.
Dude, I still cannot believe that happened.
For a month.
I cannot believe it.
Some people who were committing acts of violence and who were threatening acts of violence towards a political goal, which, by the way, is the definition of terrorism.
Yeah, domestic terrorism, right?
They took over a fucking area, 4-block area, for a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And set up a checkpoint. That is like fucking, that's terrorism, right?
Well, yeah. The same thing. They weren't allowing anyone in that had any weapons, but they were guarding it with their weapons.
Well, they had their own, like, police force. Yeah. Like, their own mini government.
Oh, can you imagine the fucking Gomer bullshit that was going on with the Antifa police force? Do you remember those leaked meetings from those, it was like, oh, I just want to let everybody know, if you have any trigger warnings, go ahead and tell everybody. Like, shut the fuck up.
And they do this?
Yeah.
They can't clap because that's like a trigger warning.
Or they're clapping too loud.
It's like, you fucking pussies.
Yeah, you're not going to make it in life.
No.
If you can't deal with clapping, that's pretty much the end of it, right?
What
there,
was
right?
that? What was that meeting they had? The where everybody like kept interrupting each other because their pronouns were wrong.
It was Berkeley,
Was it Berkeley?
Yeah.
You can't get anything accomplished like that.
No, that was right around the time they were that Shapiro and Yiannopoulos and all those guys were touring all the campuses.
Yeah.
And that's where all the protests were. It was like 2014, 15, I think, after Occupy was kind of died down, but they were still bored.
Yeah.
Like they realized during Occupy, it's actually a good analog for what's happening right now. They realized during Occupy that they could just go sleep outside and other people will pay their bills.
Yep.
And then they could feel like romantic and heroic about what they're doing. In reality, there's tailgating life. They're not doing shit.
Yeah.
And now we're seeing the same thing, except for this time, instead of the protesting, the protest led directly into forced unemployment, basically, by the government. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now people are like, I'm not going back to work. Fuck you.
Well, I mean, Portland welcomes it differently than I think Texas does, obviously. But ship a lot of people to Portland.
Ted Wheeler did until they tried to burn his fucking house down.
Oh, he's backtracked a little bit. But that guy's weak.
Well, he went down and tried to protest with him one time and got, like, punched in the head or something.
He got tear gassed.
What's that quote? Appeasement is feeding the crocodile, hoping he eats you last.
Yeah.
Oh, something boy. Like that.
Fuck those people.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody,
like, honestly, I feel like Antifa is a domestic terrorist organization, and we should bring back the old Roman law where if you're an enemy of the state, it's a kill on sight order.
Ooh.
Right? Boom.
But they got the media on their side, Dan. I mean, that's the problem. You got Portland mayor coming out saying that these are peaceful people and that Proud Boys are the problem. You know,
Jerry Nadler said they didn't exist in the first place.
Oh, yeah, when he waddled past the car.
It's funny like how the Proud Boys are definitely domestic terrorists for sure, according to the media. But these people who burned down federal buildings and have attacked people, didn't like 30 people die last summer?
There was a lot, yeah.
They burned down, or they tried to burn down federal buildings. They burned down several police stations. One retired cop, David Horn, got murdered outside of a fucking place he was guarding.
Yep.
All this stuff happened. How many people have the Proud Boys killed, just out of curiosity? Because I'm pretty sure it's fucking zero.
Zero.
Well, you know how it all started, right? It was Gavin McGinnis and
the Proud Boys. That's kind of a joke.
It was a joke.
But
it was like a male fight club.
Yeah, it was fight club. Yeah.
That's what it was. And there was these rules and everything else. And he was literally days away from coming on the show. We had him booked on Drinking Bros, and the feds raided his house.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And ironically, his house was two doors down. I won't say where he lives because he still lives there. Two doors down from my agents. And it was like, what the fuck? Oh, my God, and everything else. And so Gavin had to essentially come out and say, hey, dude, this was all a joke, and this was not serious. This is not a fucking terrorist organization, and blah, 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 blah. So we didn't know the real answer after that, and we got a call. Who was the guy who called us from Proud Boys who was like, hey, I want to be on the show and talk about the new president and something
Joe.
Else? That's it.
Biggs, yeah.
Yep. So he ended up coming on the show. We interviewed him, and I was asking him, I was like, so what do you guys really do?
Yeah.
And he was basically like, well, we just troll people. And that's kind of it. And I'm like, all right, but is there anything serious to any of this? And he goes, no, not really. And he goes, we don't really have enough funding. There's not enough people.
Well, I mean, they're not like,
and they try to pick out like one thing to do.
They did a gay float in Boston or something.
They
enjoy doing weird shit like that. But also I think one of the things they've done is over time they've seen Antifa basically run roughshod without police being allowed to do anything about it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So they're just like, fuck it. We'll just go stand out there too and see what happens. You know what I mean? These are guys mostly that are either were either in the military or have some association with fucking dudes who are in the military. Maybe they're 3 percenters or whatever nonsense like that. But mostly people like that, and they're just like, I'll go fight. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Which is not great, right? Well, none of this is good, by the way. I'm not advocating anything.
Yeah,
but
it's still not helping anything.
No, it's not helping.
But at some point, it's like, where do you stop when you see Antifa burning stuff down and you see them doing all this stuff? You have to have some resistance to that at some point.
I think the Proud Boys protect a lot of, well, you know what I mean? Like, they're there to kind of protect from Antifa.
Well,
that's
maybe.
What
yeah,
I've
maybe,
heard.
Either way, don't get involved.
Here's
my honest opinion on it. I think if the police had gotten involved and went against Antifa and pushed that back and all the other shit, and said, all right, we got this one side, push the Proud Boys back. All right, at least the streets are secure no matter what.
Yeah.
And then you can kind of move forward from that. But the problem is it didn't happen. It didn't happen with Black Lives Matter movement or anything else. Therefore, other groups who were trolling groups like the Proud Boys or whatever were like, well, fuck you. If you didn't do anything to that, why are you do anything to us?
Everybody else
is burning down
We watch, Twitter videos coming out of
Andy Noh is pretty
But there was one where Antifa and Proud Boys were just attacking each other. Proud Boys just paintballed the fuck out of them, by the way. There was an Antifa guy in a wheelchair.
Yeah, that's the new thing now, that everyone just walks around with paintball guns in Portland.
That's pretty funny.
It was entertaining. But
I
then,
mean, they're all LARPing, so why not, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Antifa's LARPing.
Dude, we have that at our lake in our town where they LARP.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I felt like it's like I drove by and I was like, is this an Antifa Proud Boys battle or
Antifa's definitely LARPing, being like an activist. They don't do, what the fuck are they doing?
Yeah, they're not really
like,
doing anything.
Look, Antifa guys, if you want to fucking live in a communist country, there's a couple of them available.
Absolutely.
I'll buy your fucking ticket right now. All I ask is you take a GoPro, I think that they're up to 9 now, with you, and leave it on as long as you're alive.
Because
you're not going to fucking last long, you fucking skinny white bitch.
That would be a really good reality show.
But yeah, we could get a GoFundMe right now that would pay for all that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for sure. They had Big Brother? Let's do Big Commie. Okay, let's do it.
Exactly. Logan Knight is saying that my two favorite podcasts combined.
Dude, Logan has been one of our followers for such a long time. He's an awesome dude. He's
Logan
in our
Knight.
Area.
That's rad.
He's going into the military.
Yeah, 10 weeks he'll be gone. So
no shit.
Yeah.
Right on.
Logan, what's up, dude?
With Antifa, though, you would fuck them. Like, they would be crazy in bed. You can tell some of those girls with the piercings and all that other shit, like, that is like, hey, you can spit on me, choke me type shit where you're just like,
well, I'm not sure that you could fit in bed with a lot of them.
I was going to say,
are they big in real life?
There's a lot of...
The ones I've seen in real life weren't.
I think the Antifa girls would be fine until you find their penis. I mean, then you'd freak the fuck out, and then you'd be like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Well, I think most of them you can't tell anyway, because they're all wearing the street bike helmets now.
Well, they got the bike helmets on.
But, well, the dudes look like them.
They had a... Okay. Oh, the one lineup picture was awful. They all look borderline retarded.
They're all bad.
Yeah. I mean, like, really, like, on the spectrum, like, for real retarded, like, we're like, physically. Yes. But there was some where you were like, all right, spray painted hair. 90 piercings, like, that'd be fun. That'd be a crazy night.
Well, you guys saw Larry Elder got freaking attacked by the gorilla mask.
Yeah. That's not one of the fun ones. Okay,
that wasn't a fun one.
No, that was an old lady.
No media coverage on that.
Zero.
Surprisingly,
I thought it was Antifa because I was like, even their masks have pink hair.
Possible. Yeah. Who knows? But I think the woman called him a white supremacist, which was awesome. Like,
I've been
so as a weird. Black man.
No, I've had that. So. I was in the Bay Area during Occupy, right?
Yep.
And I was working in private security, primarily doing like risk management, shit like that, and emergency management. But every now and again, when something cool came up, because I had a concealed carry permit, I would go do it. So I would go to Berkeley actually for these crazy ass fucking protests, in plain clothes with a gun, right? Just in case some shit popped off. And, I remember standing in the area, and there's a black cop from West Oakland that I know who grew up in West Oakland standing right there, and there's this white 19-year-old teenager yelling racist at him.
Racist, you're a fucking racist.
Yeah. And he looked at me like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What
we had a
hell?
Couple cops in Portland that came out and interviewed saying the same thing.
That's a level of, it's weird how people's identities have gotten so wrapped up and all this shit at this point, but they don't, it seems like they really don't understand what their identity is.
No.
Because you are a skinny white child from the Pacific Northwest that has literally faced no hardship in your life.
Well, and that's the thing. It's a bunch of people that are lost, and they found a group that accepts all the people that have nowhere to go.
Well, everybody strives for a purpose, right? Yeah. And you got basement dwellers who are gamers and all this other shit, which I like gaming, don't get me wrong, but I'm saying they're trying to find their cause and their purpose. And they fit, and so they're doing what they can to be a part of a group. That's it.
Right. And, you know, look, as this keeps going on, everybody's going to gravitate towards one tribe or another, and then hence the tribalism. I think we're well into it. I don't know how you break out of it at this point.
I don't know.
Unless the police decides to do something in the case of Antifa and shit like that.
Well, that's what Greg was trying to say. Yeah. Was in that video where they were paintballing, their cops were right there, and they didn't get out of their cars, man. And, the Proud Boys or whoever they were at the time were saying, are you guys going to not do anything about this? Because, they're attacking. They won't do anything.
No.
And that's part of Ted Wheeler. And that's what they're going to get. Yep. That's why the streets, nobody wants to go downtown right now.
I mean, that's the Rittenhouse thing, right? Although I don't think he went there with any kind of intent.
Yeah.
He was like cleaning up buildings and putting fires and shit out.
He was helping a lot, man.
Yeah. I talked to Tim Poole about that last night. It would be a real, he seems convinced that Rittenhouse is going to get convicted. man, how is that possible?
I think so too.
Like he's
mob mentality. The
he's
media.
Retreating away, and a fucking grown man is after him, and he turns around and pops the dude, right? Because the presumption is, if you're armed with a weapon and you're legally so, regardless of that, really, but if you're armed with a weapon and somebody's trying to take it from you, the unless it's a police officer, the expectation is they're trying to use it on you.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Yeah.
And then the next guy tries to club him with a fucking skateboard in the back of the head, I believe. And by the way, that first dude shot was a pedophile. So,
Oops.
Is that the guy whose arm blew off?
No, that was the last guy.
That was the guy with the skateboard. Yeah.
The last guy. That was the last guy with the Glock.
His bicep.
Yeah. The guy with the skateboard fucking took a swing at him, and then he fucking whatever, and he turned around and shot him in the chest. The guy who got his bicep blown out was the guy with the Glock.
And he walks
with the Glock. And then afterwards, the guy's all bandaged up. He goes, "I should have just emptied my magazine into him while he was on the ground." That's what the guy said.
Yeah.
So, good. Fuck you, dude.
Did you see the video footage of him running off? And,
yeah. And he's trying to find police and put the gun down and find somebody. Or you mean the bicep guy?
The bicep guy. Dave said there was a nice fillet of bicep just sitting on the street.
Pureed bicep.
Dude, it was.
But if you convict him, though, I mean, what kind of precedent does that send for everybody? I mean, that's what they want, right? They want people to be afraid to use their firearms, but.
I think if they convict him, there's going to be some serious fucking problems up there.
But I think, I think we all know it's going to happen. It's like the Chauvin case, right? I think Chauvin should have gone down on one of those charges for sure. I don't know how they convicted him of all three. And I think the media pressure and the scrutiny on people and the jury is too intense.
Yeah.
Everything can get leaked. And if you're not on that side, they will come after you. Yeah. And so for that reason, I think he'll get convicted on that. It has nothing to do with the law.
None of those jurors are going to want to watch their backs after they leave.
Correct.
Yeah, and social
that's
pressure.
Why. Yes.
Yep.
Tim Pool said that.
Somebody from the show in trial said that, right? They felt intimidated or whatever. I mean, look, they're inside of a federal courthouse, I believe, in Minneapolis, and they put fencing up outside, and people are standing at the fence screaming and banging drums into that. That is not a fair trial.
No.
Give me a fucking break.
Right. Oh, it's not fair from the very minute it started, man. But they needed to set an example. I thought he was going to get off personally.
Yeah,
I thought he was going to get off personally. But
I thought that
they needed to set an example.
I thought that him getting off would spark a whole new reason to riot. Yeah. That's what I thought was going to happen.
Well, I'm sure there'll be a reason in 2-3 months. Give it some time, kids, and I think we'll be back there. By the way, you were excellent on Tim Pool last night. How was that?
It's fun. Yeah,
it was a good time.
Mm-hmm.
They shoot late at night.
Yeah, we. I got there around like, I don't know, 5:30 or some shit, and we just kind of hung out, shot the shit until around 8, and then recorded at 8 to 10. He does 8 to 10 live on YouTube, and then he has a member site on his website. That's another hour or so afterwards. That's only a subscription based.
Got it. Yeah, we got a lot of comments on the message board about that. So you were great, and go and check that out on Tim Pool's page. How did you guys personally get together and decide to start a podcast?
Well, we started out in gay porn. And,
obviously, you got to do gay before
Chris,
you do straight.
Chris was the camera guy for that.
Yeah, he was. And then he kind of started joining in. And then things got a little carried away, and we're like, hey, let's just talk about this stuff. Yeah. Let's just talk about it and let's put our dicks away.
Were you like the camera guy in
Boogie Nights?
Nope.
Zach and Mary Make a Porno?
No, not that one either.
That one's good though.
Orgasmo.
Or just any porno.
It's Matt Stone, and he's like, I don't want to sound queer or nothing. And he's just like, but you got a really nice dick, bro.
No, we me and Greg have known each other since a very young age.
Oh yeah.
We went to school all the way in
elementary
Chris
school.
Chris has been with us for a long time as a friend, mutual friends. But we get together, we have awesome friends and family. We all get together Saturday nights, we'd all shoot the shit, the wives would hang out. And we ended up talking for hours every Saturday about stuff that was going on. And we're not just political. Chris does motocross, and I'm into, you know, I played music. Me and Greg played music together for a long time.
Yeah.
We have a vast array of things, but we were like, we have all this music equipment. Like, why are we not just recording this shit and having a conversation? For a year, we just recorded ourselves and put it up. Didn't promote it, didn't do anything, but we just sat in a room and talked, and it's grew into what it is now, which is awesome. Sure. So.
How many years has it been now?
Three.
Three years now.
Yeah.
You guys have been doing this.
But about a year and a half, seriously. Like, we've been pushing it more for the past year and a half. Yep. So.
Tell everybody where they can find you and how many shows you guys do a week. Because you guys do several shows a week.
Yeah, we do 4 a week.
Yeah.
And we're up on all the main shit.
Except for Spotify.
Except for Spotify, yeah. But you can go on Apple, you can go on Google Podcasts, go on everything. On
Instagram. PardonMyAmerican.com.
Yeah, we have a website. Where
we have all the links and shit.
And we just started a Patreon actually the other day. We're still working out some kinks, but we have you know, a couple tiers on there where you can have a questions and answers thing.
Tiers, is that one of your kinks?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. Tiers. What else?
Yep. Liberal tiers. That's you know, added
what
value.
What do you do with them?
Clown tiers too.
Do you guys like take shots out of each other's belly buttons or something?
Buttholes.
Yeah, you gotta do.
Oh, I prefer belly buttons personally. You know,
gotta do that anus shot, bro, to get everything kicked.
I got a deep belly button.
That really depends on the taint. Like, you can eat cereal out of somebody's ass if they got a good enough taint.
Oh, well, after, you mean after it's like bleached or like clean?
No,
we'll
clean
it. It's like
a
hot dog bun. You know,
clean it, obviously.
Yeah, but
you can make a banana fucking spit in that motherfucker, man.
Yeah. I don't have an ass, so I don't think it's gonna hold any soup or you know any kind of cereal or anything.
Yeah, not at all. Not at all. Besides Norm Macdonald today, the other top story is obviously Gavin Newsom.
Oh, baby.
The recall is today. Any shot that he loses today?
No.
I
think he's
going
to win.
I think it's up in the air, honestly.
No, I think it'll be 4 to 6 points. It went by 4 to 6 points. Uh-huh. 100%. Once they mailed out ballots to every single person, even people who were bored, who just got it in their mailbox, were like, well, fuck it, I'll just turn it in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Something to do.
It used to be elections, you had to go out to the box itself and be like, all right, great, I'm an American, this is my candidate, and we're going to do this now. Yeah. It's just like, hey, you looked at the last election, and a lot of people had mail-in votes because they were afraid to go outside into the world, especially in California. And then they just voluntarily mailed them out to every single person.
Do you think, I've been hearing a lot of this lately, that Trump and other Republicans leading up to the election talking about the potential for fraud with the mail-in stuff made people not vote. Do you think there's any truth to that? Mm. Do you think it demoralized people?
I think there is.
I mean, psychologically, that does happen. So there is an effect where if a Democratic candidate is leading early on the East Coast, by the time it gets to the more liberal West Coast, the gap expands quite a bit more than it would in normal years, right? Because people want to be part of a winning team, and if people see him getting his ass kicked, like, fuck this shit, right?
Possible.
I think for Republicans, yes. Mm. So I think if Trump was out there saying, hey, everybody, they're going to cheat, I know it, don't go out there and turn
it's
in
a
this.
Terrible Trump.
I know, I suck.
Stop you there.
I do suck.
Stop you right there.
He does a great Cuomo, though.
But hey, it was, I think, if he was out there saying, don't go and turn in these mail-in ballots, then they won't go do it.
Yeah. It's one of those things, though, where Biden did. Biden went out there.
Yeah.
He campaigned. Trump didn't.
Did he? From his basement?
No, he was actually out there.
Biden flew
to California, and last night.
Oh, you're right.
Remember, he didn't specifically say that a vote for Larry would be a guarantee for Trump winning.
Yeah. So, they're still talking about Trump, but I'm on the other side, I'm surprised Trump didn't go for Larry Elder. He's still doing rallies.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. If you're not going to run, what's the point of doing a rally?
Because he's an egomaniac. What do you mean? Why?
That is true. Yeah. That is true.
He wants to see, he's just like every other cunt politician. He wants to see his face on the fucking billboard. I'm not even kidding. In political campaigns, and sorry for all you political staffers out there, but you're soulless fucking monkeys, anyways. One of the things you do is find out the route that your candidate takes from their home to your office, which is where you spend most of your time, and you make sure the fucking yard signs are lined up. Because otherwise, they're like, where's the yard? Where? Nobody has ever fucking voted because of a goddamn yard sign, but they spend like fucking 10% of their budget on that stupid shit.
I did. Yeah. Can I tell you I did once? In North Carolina, there was a guy named Dan Forrest who was running, and I didn't know anything about him. I knew he was running for governor, and he was Republican. But his signs were Run Forest Run.
Of course it was.
Ooh, and so it just stuck in my mind. So when I got in there to vote, I was like, oh, what the fuck was that guy? Oh, that's right, Forrest. Yeah, Forrest, the Forrest Gump guy. I'll vote for him. He was Republican.
What Dan was saying, though, about being on a winning team, though, I think the signs, what that does show, are the flags you see on people's, because where we're at, I mean, there's a lot of Trump flags out there.
Is it really?
There was, for sure, man. And the signs, but what I think it is it shows.
That's one of the things people talked about leading up to the election. There's no way Biden's going to win. Have you seen all these big Trump rallies?
Yeah,
I saw them.
Well, I mean, there's...
They didn't fucking vote.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or
man.
Maybe they did.
Well, yeah, he got 75 votes.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, do you guys think there's funny business?
I don't think there's any way in hell that the most people voted ever in this election. I just don't believe that.
I don't either.
Especially for Joe Biden.
No, a vast amount of people were still disaffected, particularly on the left, from the Bernie Sanders ordeals over the last two campaigns. I just don't believe that shit, no. I don't know what that means, honestly. I think... I'm not too interested in the physical voter fraud stuff so much as I am the media and social media and how they affect it. I think that's a much more powerful tool.
I do, like, too.
Once you're Republicans, you get back in power and you have the ability to fucking create little bits of legislation to change the way votes are or whatever, you can come back from that. You can't come back from the only voice people hear are right bad, orange bad. You can't come back from that. It just doesn't work.
And the other part of this is for Dan and I, at least, and I'm curious as to what it is on your podcast. I hesitate to say voter fraud because until you show us evidence, like concrete evidence in our face in a courtroom that there was like, all right, these were hidden or we found 80,000 ballots lost somewhere or whatever.
Well,
it's
kind of dead.
Well, I mean, kind of, right?
Yeah. I mean, they found provisional ballots that didn't get counted, but that you would have to assume people are like, oh, that's 4 times more than whatever. But that means he would have had to have won 75% of those just to tie the vote, right? Yeah. That's how that works.
Yes.
Well, I think it gets messy. And where I stand on the podcast personally, and we have great fans, and they believe that there is some fraud going on. That's a lot of our fans.
It is hard to believe that things went down the way the media says.
Absolutely.
Frankly. Yes. Yeah. Well, kids, this is the point in the show. We got some sponsors who put this shit wagon on the air. First and foremost, GhostBed.com/DrinkItBros. The IT guy over there might be dead or raped or he fell asleep. I don't know what happened, but they left up the 40% off Labor Day bundle package sale. So take advantage of it. Take advantage of him. By the way, if he is dead, I'm going to feel bad about this later. But in the meantime, get yourself a new mattress set for your bedroom. All you have to do is get that adjustable base and a mattress, and then you can bundle anything with it and get 40% off. So if you get the adjustable base and a mattress, throw some pillows on there, some sheets, whatever it is, who knows? If that guy died, though, I really do want to give a sincere apology to his family. If not, though, thanks for just leaving up the sale, and we greatly appreciate that. Now, if you just want something by itself over at GhostBed, like a mattress or pillows or sheets or whatever, use the promo code DRINKINBROS at checkout and get 30% off. As always, they got a 36-month pay-as-you-go program. No interest there as long as you have decent credits. And you can walk out of there. That's including these deals, by the way. So you can put the 40%, 30% deals in there. Walk out of there with a savings probably somewhere in the neighborhood of, man, I'd say $500 to $800. $800 probably. And that's like $35 to $38 a month. Great deal over there. Great products. We love GhostBed.com/DrinkinBros. They've been with us for years, and they're going to be with us for another 2. Next up, we got BoxOfAwesome.com. Promo code DrinkinBros gets you 20% off your first monthly box. Sign up today. Sign up today. I've had this thing for over 2.5 years now. It's like a little tiny Super Bowl that arrives in my mailbox once a month. I don't know what I'm getting there. I've gotten a hatchet one time. I got a whole bartending set. The last one was like a Mexican set with it had like a tortilla holder in there for fajitas. It's stuff for like dudes that you would never buy for yourself, like a travel bag or a dop kit. That's super fucking nice, man. This summer, Bespoke Posts, because that's who it is, by the way. Box of Awesome is Bespoke Posts. You can take all your adventures to the next level. They partner with a bunch of small businesses and emerging brands to bring you the most unique goods every single month. Again, that hatchet, dude, was the biggest shock of my life, and I loved it. I let my 3-year-old just go out in the backyard and pretend like he was Davy Crockett for an hour. It was awesome. So no matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has got you covered, from travel and outdoor gear to breezy summer styles and grooming goods. Box of Awesome has collections for every part of your life. I'm telling you, I've been using that dop kit for years now at this point, 2 years. To get started, take a quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers are going to help them pick the right box for you. So that's why it's important. And it's cool and it's kind of fun. It's like a choose your adventure type of deal. They release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel at any time. You can put it on pause if you're going out of town. Each box only costs $45, but it's worth like, man, they say 70 is probably 100 something. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the promo code DRINKINBROS at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, promo code Drinking Bros for 20% off your first box. I'm telling you, do this, dude. Your wife is getting that bullshit makeup sent to her house every month. Get something for you, dude. It's your time. It's all over once you ride up Troy's buckets. Next up, we got a new one here. Welcome to the program, Talkspace. Talkspace is new to the program here. Start feeling better with a single message. Match with a licensed therapist when you go to Talkspace.com and get $100 off your first month with the promo code Drinking Bros. That's $100 off your first month when you use the promo code Drinking Bros at Talkspace.com. Look, we're all dudes. And then, you know, there's a few women out there who listen to us. Wink. We love you, gals. But we all like to say no big. No bigs, dude. Who cares? No, I'm fine. I'm fine. The truth is, things can really start to add up. And suppressing these emotions, it only gets you so far. Look, I've talked about it on the show, dude, with Dr. Frank and everything else. We are going through some shit, and you just need to talk to somebody. Now, I happen to have a doctor there who was a buddy of mine and a friend, but let's say you don't. This is where Talkspace comes in handy. Needing help doesn't mean something's wrong with you. It just means you're human. We all talk to our friends when we're experiencing issues, but they don't give the best advice sometimes. And, you know, some people just don't want to hear it, dude. You go through the end of a long day, and it's just like, hey, dude, I had a long day. I don't want to chat about this. Let's just throw on some football and be dudes and kind of not talk to each other. But here... at Talkspace.com, you can actually talk to somebody about it. And, you know, the Talkspace app makes it easy to connect with a licensed therapist on your schedule without having to wait weeks for the next appointment. You can go anywhere and take your therapist with you. Again, Talkspace, dude. That's what you want to do. Anytime, 24 hours a day, you can talk to somebody there, a licensed professional. So whether you're a parent, student, millennial, somebody having a hard day, man, Talkspace can provide the support to help you feel better with a single message. Talkspace offers individual and couples therapy, so if you're going through it with your lady or your dude, we don't fucking kink shame here. Set goals with your therapist, and they can help make sure you're really progressing. Talkspace therapists help you develop tools to cope in difficult times. And again, they work around your schedule at your convenience. Send and receive unlimited messages with your dedicated therapist in the app. Schedule live video sessions with your licensed therapist from anywhere, any time of the day. So whether you're experiencing depression, anxiety, or other forms, Talkspace is the number one online therapy platform to help you sort through any issue. Thousands of licensed therapists are available for you to match with. Talkspace therapists are experts in dozens of specialties, including anxiety, depression, relationships, and more, to help you start feeling better. So start feeling better today with a single message. Match with a licensed therapist when you go to Talkspace.com and get $100 off your first month with the promo code Drinking Bros. That's $100 off when you use the promo code Drinking Bros at Talkspace.com.
But the problem is you got the Mike Lindell stuff where there's this big symposium that's going on, right? And then you got all these things. I think what's the most important stuff is what Crowder's doing, for example, where he's actually showing addresses, like, hey guys, we went to this address, it doesn't exist. I know that's it's a small thing, you know, but that's more effective than what Mike Lindell was trying to do, in my opinion.
Well,
and
Mike
Lindell, to keep it level headed.
Mike Lindell is trying to sell pillows, let's be real.
That's a lot.
Well,
I have another theory on this. Give two fucks about anybody other than himself and his family.
Another theory on Mike Lindell. So with his Dominion suit that he's going through right now, by him suing them back, he gets discovery. So he is going to get all those digital records, which no one else is going to get if it gets that far. Mm-hmm. So he clearly has the money. And let's face it, lawsuits are nothing but a fucking money suck on either side. And rarely do you come out of it with like $80 million, you know, unless your kid dies on Halloween in a DUI or something like that. We're just like, holy shit. And I think with Mike Lindell, it is more about the discovery process, getting that information. Mm-hmm. And I bet you there are people behind the scenes that are giving him money to do this and help him and be like, hey, man, just keep going because you're the only one with enough money. We'll give you some money.
Oh, yeah.
But you have enough money to go through these legal processes. and ask them for all the discovery. Because if you wanted to, in a suit like this that is that massive, you could go back and say, great, I want to see all the fucking digital info from every single goddamn machine that you had during the election.
Yep.
You have the right to ask for that. State by state, machine by machine, all of it, if that's because that's how big this lawsuit is. Mm-hmm. So you're certainly able to do that if you want to. Now, whether or not Dominion takes it that far, I think Mike Lindell will. Yes. Because you're right. He is selling more pillows. There's more people coming out saying, hey, like the Hodge twins, support Mike Lindell, buy his pillows on this site. Here's a promo code, and here's the other
thing. Patriotism is hot right now.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, absolutely. To be honest, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Patriotism is awesome, but it's a hot commodity right now.
Oh, yeah.
So you make money, unfortunately or fortunately, from it. You know what I mean? But Greg has said it multiple times on the podcast where sometimes going to court, that's the best action, like you said, to get information out. Yeah. That's the only way to get it. You know?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because once until it's in a courtroom, it almost doesn't mean anything. Because you have to have that legal paperwork to go with it.
True. By the way, Dan took a piss, so if one of you has to go, feel free. Yeah. People ask that all the time when we're live on YouTube. If you have to use the bathroom, we don't hold you here.
Well, Greg we're is not going to hold you down. Greg will be 20 times a day.
I just went right now. I hope you don't mind.
We've made him wear depends.
When you
on
see
here.
The wet stain when I stand up, everybody, don't be alarmed.
Yeah, yeah. We don't hold people in the chairs. Everybody asks when we're live on YouTube, can you go take a piss? Yes, Dan took a piss. You guys are more than welcome to get up and use the restroom.
No, we're good.
If need be.
I can hold it.
But man, we get that question all the time. They're like, wait a minute, you're live, but what if you have to use the bathroom? I mean, obviously, if you got to take a shit, shit your pants.
Oh,
but,
dude, yes.
Greg will start shaking.
But just don't
You'll
piss yourself.
It. He'll start getting a little shaky. And
dude, yeah. Speaking of shaking, we on our plane ride, we had a guy who was frightened to death.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Duct taped down to the seat?
Yeah. They were in San Francisco. Whatever the word is. But they were from San Francisco. But he was, he had the jerking hand
his
going
whole
on
chair
quite
was
a bit. Yeah, it was
His whole chair was shaking.
I tried to film it. It was hard.
Yeah. That's fucking hilarious. Yeah. You guys had a terrible time getting in.
It was awful.
Yeah, it was a shit show.
You almost didn't get in.
It was
awful. What was the fucking story?
We left at like 7:30 at our house. Yeah. We were supposed to be on the plane and here by 5 p.m. But then they delayed us to where we took off at 12:40, which was already delay. And then we had to go to a layover in San Francisco of all fucking places.
Yep. Yeah.
And that was like a 3-4 hour. So we just hung out in the airport, man. Then we got here. We couldn't get our rental car because it was past midnight. So we were traveling all day. Then the taxi driver, there was a car accident. He didn't know what to do.
Yeah, they like took out the lights on an overpass, and that's the way he had to go. And they had the road closed. And so he like looks at us and goes, I don't know what to do.
Yeah. And Greg said, pull the fun car over. We'll walk.
I was like, this is the first time I've never heard a taxi driver say, I don't know what to do. Where do you want me to go? I'm like, okay, just stop the car, please. We'll walk.
That's awesome.
But today's been great. So.
We're glad you guys made it. Did you go to Terry Black's?
We did.
Good. Yeah. Good. We always tell people, go to Terry Black's. That's the best barbecue here.
It was delicious. It looks nice. It feels nice. It feels like Texas.
Pretty close to here.
And we almost went and bought some outfits. We were going to wear cowboy outfits and hats and buckles, but I was like, that's probably inappropriate, you know? Like when in Rome.
You go full Texas, my guy.
Yeah, you know?
Full
hey.
Texas. Dan, I wanted to ask you about a story today here. Bob Woodward's got a new book out.
Yeah, I saw this.
Again. And so, Jenner, your boy, Millie, dude. God, you love this guy. You've always been a fan of him.
Yeah, I heard about this.
It is reported here in this book that there was fears that Trump might launch a strike-prompted attack on a nuclear attack on China. Do you buy any of that shit whatsoever? And that he was mentally handicapped?
No. We have you see what a mentally handicapped person in the White House looks like, right? That wasn't it. Yeah, he was angry that he wasn't going to win. I've heard plenty of those stories from staffers. Like, he was fucking raging the fuck out. That's what that happens on all sorts of campaigns all the time. People fuck like Tom Barrett, the dude he's the mayor of Milwaukee. He ran for governor against Scott Walker in 2012 in the recall election. This motherfucker, after losing, some lady that's a staffer walks up and slaps him right in the fucking face in front of like a sea of 1,000 people.
Ooh, boy.
It was amazing. It was so funny. And then he and his fucking campaign manager canceled all the credit cards of all of his staffers right that night before it was over. So everybody was still out. It was like we're going to see what happens tonight. Yeah. So they had to pay for all their hotel rooms, their Ubers home, because none of them drove, all this stuff. And when I say Ubers home, I mean back to like fucking 200 miles away.
Yeah.
This kind of shit happens all the time. The real question isn't whether or not Trump was in a state where he may have done something stupid like that, because that's not Milley's job. That's the 25th Amendment's job, right? The real question is, did he commit treason? Or at the very least, did he violate the Logan Act? It absolutely violated the Logan Act. No question about that. That says that no citizen can negotiate with another country on behalf of the United States without the express written consent of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, of course.
You know, of the president. So he 100% violated that, if this book is correct. And these two old losers aren't usually prone to lying, at least. They bend the truth quite a bit these days.
I was going to say, do you guys truly trust this?
Yeah, so I'll read it to you here. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff twice called his Chinese counterpart in the final months of the Trump administration to reassure him that Donald J. Trump had no plans to attack China in an effort to remain in power and that the United States was not collapsing, according to this new book, Peril, by Bob Woodward. According to Milley, he says things may look unsteady and that he was the voice of reason here, but that's the nature of democracy. He goes on to say, we are 100% steady, everything's fine, but democracy can be sloppy at times, was what he reportedly said here.
Right. The idea that any member of the armed forces would be limiting the power of the president is, that's a real problem, right? I mean, at very least, he should have his pension taken away. He should be fired from his job. He should be excommunicated from the fucking military entirely.
Mm-hmm.
Just for that. Like, you disobey a direct order, that's one thing. That's a UCMJ violation. You disobey a direct order from the fucking president of the United States, fuck you.
Well, yeah. Didn't it just come out that Milley was saying that he was telling people not to listen to Trump for the nuclear code if there was ever a situation?
Yeah. I mean, what the fuck was he going to do, nuke?
He wouldn't. What? Exactly. I don't think he was going to. But
no,
I'm saying,
of course he wasn't
going
to do that.
Saying that, even by itself.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. There's definitely going to be some investigations. But this is, you know, it's just another one of those things that's popped up now that is distracting from the fact that Joe Biden got 13 U.S. service members killed unnecessarily. Right.
Yeah.
And that we're taking more and more steps towards an autocratic government. So all these fucking cronies that he has in office now. Remember the narrative with Trump was, why is he bringing in all these generals? Is he trying to start a fucking, what is this going to be, like a fucking military dictatorship? Like, I mean, maybe that was a legitimate concern then, but it's a reality now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what, are you fucking kidding me? We did a story on this on the American Party last week about how, James Mattis, Mad Dog, everybody's fucking hero, who, by the way, sucks his own dick.
Oh.
Fuck this guy.
Literally?
No, he can't. No.
He's
got
a hard move.
That would, I mean, that's a story in itself.
Now,
though,
if you do that, you're a fucking hero.
He would be if he could do that. That's fair.
That's like
I retract that because I don't want to give him any credit whatsoever. So this motherfucker is one of 700 former military officers or intelligence officers that write this fucking letter to America, like an open letter to America, man, in defense of America, about how you got to get rid of Trump and elect Joe Biden. Not only did they say get rid of the current president, they endorsed a president for the first time ever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anything like that's happened. So a month after he resigns and signs on to that letter, he gets put on the board of General Dynamics, which is the third largest fucking military contractor in the world. A couple months after that, also gets added to something called the Cohen Group, started by William Cohen, another former Secretary of Defense. They have four offices. Mm-hmm. Two of them are in China, right? Mm-hmm. And they specialize in negotiating deals between American and Chinese companies. That's what they do, right? So these motherfuckers that supported Joe Biden to be president, a guy with vascular dementia who preached about his fucking foreign policy street creds, that was a big reason people fucking brought him in here, obviously has none based on these operations we've seen and how he's handled himself. These motherfuckers who very much had a role in getting him elected are now profiting greatly from his deal with China. Right.
Mm-hmm.
As is Joe Biden himself, probably via his son, which that Lots story was suppressed. Yeah. There's all this shit going on. It seems very likely that a combination of the White House and the Pentagon are compromised, and maybe the State Department as well, by China in some way, whether it's China directly or just financial interest because of China. Right. They're fucking selling us out on a regular basis. And people hear that, like, oh, that's crazy. That could never happen here. Everybody that's ever said that can never happen here has died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
right?
Well, haven't they said that China has infiltrated every part of American politics?
I mean,
just every facet of life. I mean, if you look at it, who's on the show? Was it Shapiro the other day? We were talking about, you look at Hollywood, you look at real estate, you look at
sports.
Everything has been infiltrated by China. I remember back, way back in the day when I was at NYU and Clayton and I were filming out of New York in the mid-2000s. They put us in a high-rise building, and it was empty. There's nobody in there. And it was all owned by, people from overseas and China and shit. And they were just privately stashing money in condos and houses and shit like that. And, they're buying up a ton of real estate in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about that yesterday for a little bit. And they own everything, man. Yeah. It's a fucking long game with them, whereas all of... Everything we're doing here is a very, very short-sighted ADD game of 30 seconds, and that's it. It's like, those motherfuckers, dude, they're in it for the long haul. It's just a long peace pipe where they're like, hey, we got 90 years to live. Let's go ahead and just take our fucking time every single day. And they're winning at the end of the day. China's winning. I don't think America's number. Like, if we're going college football rankings right now, America's not one. It's probably two. Behind China, China owns everything in the world.
Yep.
If it all came to a head,
it depends on what you mean by America, right? Do you mean the government? Because I sure as shit don't.
That's what I'm talking about.
I mean, but that's the problem. America ultimately is a number of things. I guess it's the idea that individual liberty and self-determinism is the most important thing that you could ever believe, right? Because we put that the Franklin quote about sacrificing security. And quotes about it's better that 10 men that are guilty go free than one man that's innocent be in prison, things like that. We prioritize liberty above all else. That's America. But America is also the people. It's our system of government in general. And it is at some point, ultimately, America in the future becomes who is in control of our Air Force, because our air superiority militarily is what has made us the lone superpower in the world, mm-hmm. or at least that was the case.
Yes.
Right? It was our air superiority.
Is it still the case? Let me ask you.
Yeah,
is that still the case?
100%. Yeah. China's okay. Air Force can suck it. But you see this shit with these Chinese vessels off the Alaskan coast and stuff like that. I mean, they're like toddlers, right? They're going to test and see what we will and won't put up with, for sure. And I don't know what the.
Do you have any confidence with a Biden presidency?
No.
That's what I'm saying.
No,
like, at least not with Trump, there was some. To me, I felt like they were. He was erratic, and they knew he was erratic, and that was scary to them, in my opinion. But,
was he, though? Was he erratic?
No,
he spoke erratically, but did he act erratically?
Not necessarily, but I think they portrayed him, whether the media wanted to or not, they portrayed him as erratic. I mean, you remember they were saying this guy could push a button at any time.
Yeah.
You know, and whether
he had every opportunity to do that.
Yeah. For 4 years, and he didn't.
Yeah.
We
had the something guys we fucked
hosts
from that show on here,
Corinne Fisher.
And she's like, Corinne I predict Fisher. That Trump's gonna have to be dragged out of the White House. I'm like, come on, man,
no,
like it's just not gonna be like that. He's more prone to just use irresponsible, flippant language than he is to actually do shit. I mean, look at the results of what he actually did. He was in on some of the lockdowns, right? The left will not fucking admit that. He produced, however you feel about the vaccine, the system that he set up, right, while getting brutally attacked from the other side, produced a vaccine quicker than we've ever seen one in the history of humanity. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
5 Middle East peace deals with Israel for the first time in history. Record low unemployment for Americans and for particularly black and brown Americans. All this stuff worked out pretty well. So where is the erratic shit? Exactly. Yeah. Like, I don't think he had the chops foreign policy wise on war. Like the economy stuff, he did pretty well. Our trade deficit with China was probably the best it's been since we've had a trade deficit with China, right?
Mm-hmm.
All the other economic stuff going on, I don't know if he had any thoughts on how to stop China from buying up so much of our shit or what that looked like, but otherwise did pretty fucking well. The war thing, not so much, but that's the general.
I mean, why would you expect him to know a lot of? I mean, to me, it's like, how would he? You know, he's not a politician technically.
Well, I mean, you rely on your generals, and that's a problem too, because these guys are a bunch of fucking clowns, obviously.
Well, and that's probably why they went the route of just trying to make peace deals with everybody.
Yeah,
so we didn't have to deal with it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, well, I mean, the Middle East and Israel peace deals made sense. I called this like 2 years ago on the show because he was going down a list of the wealthiest countries in the Middle East, trying to give them financial incentive to be friends with Israel. That's all he was doing.
Yeah,
worked with Qatar, worked with Kuwait, worked with Saudi Arabia, et cetera, et cetera. All the richest countries. Bahrain was one of them. It was like the top six Islamic countries by wealth, except for Iran. All the other ones were fucking in peace deals with Israel at the time. Very intentionally so, because that's how his brain works. He's a money guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's like, if people are financially incentivized to do something, they're probably going to do it. And he's goddamn right about that. That's why everybody does everything.
I mean, I supported Trump, honestly. I support him in a lot of ways. I think he has his flaws, and I think that's you should criticize those. But I felt like he never got a fair shake, and that was my opinion, is I thought the leadership never gave him the opportunity. I mean, they were coming out there. They lied to him about how many troops they were going to be pulling out when he was in there. I mean, they told him how many troops were in there. It was a lie. You got this woke military guys who are not helping him out at all. Well, and then on top of
the media,
it was you know,
the
media's
every story that came out was anti-Trump. Look what Trump tweeted.
Look what this is.
That's actually statistically verifiable. It was in what would be considered the mainstream media, which is the major publications. This is including Fox, by the way. Yeah, if you include all of them, 90% of the stories run about him were negative.
Yep,
90%.
And that's huge.
Yeah, that's of
my
course,
thing. Was I mean, if you would if that would have never happened,
big lie,
what
right?
would have tr- what could have Trump done? You know,
I think probably less in some ways and more in some other ways. Like he may have lasted longer, but I think the friction is what he's used to.
Yeah,
and I think without it, he would have gotten bored, to be honest, and disengaged a little bit. I feel like a lot of what he was doing was like, oh, you think I can't fucking do? Fuck you, I can do president. Fuck you. Yeah. He probably
that's
said
why
it
supporters
like that
were so supportive of him because they saw that he was, you know, he was facing the media. He was facing
And I've never seen anybody get more attacked by the media ever. Not any politician that hadn't like raped or murdered somebody or some shit. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I mean, all you have to do is put in like an emoji on Instagram or one of those apps, right? Mm-hmm. And you type in Trump and you see a bunch of hateful kind of like making fun of him emojis,
The
Trump
gifts,
with his pants down.
And
then you type in Biden, you see, oh, Mr. Cool Guy.
Yeah,
I got
he's
my
waving
glasses.
A flag.
I got my ice cream.
Well, it's like every bookstore. We just went to the bookstore at the mall and it was all, you know, you got Obama for some reason still up front and center. You got Kamala Harris's books. And then all the books with Trump was just, you know, outlandish, crazy shit. And that, you know, it is what it is.
Hey, this Bob Woodward book, it's the same thing. I mean, look, that thing sold a million hardback copies. That is a fuck ton of money.
Yeah, hating Trump was a market.
Oh, right. Making books off of Trump specifically.
Yeah. Yep.
Was it Mary Trump, the fucking retard cousin who he had never talked to or whatever?
Yeah.
Her book outsold everything like last year, and you're like,
yeah, because the publishers were calling around people like, hey, you know, Donald Trump, you got one story that you can write a whole book around and sell some books,
because
all you need is that one headline. Shocking new book says Donald Trump fucking farts bubbles in the bathtub.
Oh, he's pissing on the girl in the bed. You know what I'm saying? Like, you say something and they can retract it at 2 a.m. and and everybody already got the info and they run with it. Period. So,
but he also, I mean, He lived and died by the sword. He leaned into that shit, and it fucking cost him.
Yeah,
right, I think. I believe the rhetoric down the stretch made a lot of people not vote.
Do you think there's Biden regret right now, though?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I mean, you can't.
Look at
the
look at the polling. He's like, what is his approval rating? 38% right now, or some shit.
Yeah, it's awful. Yeah.
Low 40s, high 30s, I think.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. That's what Giorgio likes, though. You know,
he's more like low 50s, high 40s.
That's true.
Say, yeah,
that's true. We'll pivot here for a second. You guys ever talk about aliens and shit like that?
Oh,
like,
yeah,
sometimes.
Yeah.
We don't. We wanted to base the podcast off of that a lot, and like some politics, but I love Bigfoot. Greg doesn't believe in it. I like Bigfoot. Aliens, UFOs, ghosts. We have ghost experiences and
stuff. The reason why I ask is your setup on YouTube and everything lends itself to that vibe of like, maybe they do some fucking weird ghost shit at night.
We get a little funky.
We try to. It's been very political lately because of the climate, obviously. Like, with what's going on, it's hard not to be. But we definitely want to, you know, dive
into
ghosts more.
It's hard to get new ghost stories.
It is. Yeah. Well, what about UFOs? Because, like, I'm looking at this thing from Elon Musk today that says, I'm not saying there are UFOs, but there are UFOs.
Elon
Musk is saying it, I kind of think he knows.
I think he's
Elon Musk
alien.
Is the biggest grifter of our time.
He is.
Like,
I don't trust that guy at all.
Elon Musk does is make fucking tech that's unaffordable and then get tax breaks for fucking selling it.
Yeah. Right? Well, he gets a ton of money.
Tesla's never made a dime.
No.
They've never made a dime. SpaceX is actually doing pretty well. Yeah. But Tesla's never made a dime. And this guy thinks it's like funny and cute to manipulate markets as well, right? And it's not. It's not funny or cute.
Do you think there's aliens? Yes or no?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I do too.
100%.
I think if he's saying it, because look, he's been up there.
Yeah.
There's only a handful of them who have. Elon, he's probably got some shit.
He's been up where?
I don't know if he's been up to space.
SpaceX. Well, I mean, look, if you're sending rockets and shit up there.
Has he actually been up
there? No, not him personally.
You're going to start pissing the flat earthers off, you know what I'm saying? Because they're going to be like, it's all a bubble. Right. This is all simulation.
You want to hear the best one was when he sent the Tesla up with the guy in it?
Oh, yes.
Jesse, when I went home, my wife was like, what happened to that guy? Not real, Jesse.
That's
not
a dummy,
not,
right?
Yeah. Man, fucking yeah, it was a dummy.
Tessa,
it was a fake person. She was like, "Oh my god, it looks so real." And I was like, "Yeah, how do you think he got home? You think the Tesla had enough charge in that to go back, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 miles?"
Well, see, since we were on that late flight last night, I had my. I mean, you can both attest. I was glued to the window. I was like, "There's got to be something." We were flying over Nevada, and I'm like, "There's got to be a fucking light somewhere. There's got to be some shit going on." I've seen weird stuff. I know we've all seen some weird things. The ghost thing, I think, is something we have more experience with because my house is. My house is
pretty. Told me that I would have told you guys to stay at a different hotel. I stayed at the Driscoll, and everybody had said that that place was haunted. Oh. So we just
feel like I looked that up, and I was going to ask Greg if we can make a change. Because
I tell you what, just go over there. I was over there the other day, and there was a good brunch place down there in the lobby of it. And this woman was coming off the elevator screaming. She was like, "There's a Ouija board in the elevator!" And so, like, I'd heard about the hotel and the rumors and all that shit. So I just watched.
I mean, my dream would be to interview Zach Bagans. I think the guy's
weird. Yeah, yeah.
And he's so fucking weird, and he's awesome in a certain way. But it's like so dramatic, and I kind of like that.
Their newer stuff is almost normalized. He was really weird at the beginning.
They've captured some crazy shit too.
Yeah. Possibly, if it's not fake.
By the way, I went to the elevator. There was a Ouija board in the middle of the elevator. Yeah,
they just leave it there all the time.
Girl was freaked out. I don't think the hotel would do that. I mean,
you're
just driving customers
marketing.
Out. But I tell you what, go for a spin in there tonight. Just walk through the hallways and stuff and go up to the elevators.
We'll get the address later.
It's creepy as shit.
I'm all about it.
Where you're just like, all right. And there's a certain aroma there where
you've seen too many smells like ghosts. Movies.
Man. The paintings, too. Like, the way that the paintings are.
The only ghost movie that, from a physics standpoint, that makes any sense is The Others.
Yes. Right?
Which is where if the idea that you're... consciousness or whatever you want to call it is a physical object in the fourth spatial dimension, right?
Yeah.
And that maybe there's some interdimensional data leakage, for lack of a better phrase. That could be possible, maybe. But all the other nonsense is exactly that.
I'm not going to lie. I was pretty convinced when Paranormal Activity came out until I saw the alternate ending at the very end. Then I was like, okay, come
this,
on.
This, yeah. That reminds me of my dad tried to trick me one time. I was like 7 years old. And he was watching some movie about the rapture, but I'd come in like 30 minutes late to that. I don't know what I was probably pounding off, right?
Yeah, a couple times. Yeah.
I come in there. He's like, "Yeah, it's the news." I'm like, "Oh, okay, cool." I just sat down and watched the news, kind of fucking. I didn't know what I was looking at. I'm like, idiot kid.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, fucking crazy shit starts happening, and I'm like, "Uh-oh, what the fuck is this shit?" Like, I'm starting to panic, and that is a very sophisticated form of child abuse.
It is. It is.
But he did regular abuse, too, so it was fine. It all evened out. He was a real piece of shit. But I know that feeling of like, oh, shit, is this real? It's not. But aliens are definitely real.
I don't know. I mean, can tell you 100%. Me and Greg, we were at my house before we even had furniture. And we were we had a little bit of furniture, but we had this big house, and I put my child up. She was like less than a year old. Put her in the crib upstairs. She was screaming her head off. We had the monitor, and we heard, I swear to you, as clear as day, like this muffled old man's voice, and it was loud as shit upstairs.
Yeah. Yep.
My daughter stops. You can see her in the monitor. She's looking in her room, and then she deep lays down voice. And goes to sleep.
Like, so and deep that you could feel it.
I could not figure it out.
Like, what the fuck was that?
But actually, our audience, they always message us that there's little orbs. I mean, we had a voice that we caught on a recording of a child.
Yeah,
it was just speaking in the microphone, and it was...
Yeah, during a show, we went back and we were listening.
And his
to it.
Family
we
was
had
all gone.
That, oh my God, dude. Do you not understand how fucking RF frequencies work?
I do. Yeah, I mean, I get
Jesus
it.
Jesus Christ.
Remember?
You ever heard the on your fucking speaker when your phone starts ringing? Get the fuck out of here.
I don't know, man.
Brinkus was on the show and we had that, dude. And that recording came out.
Yeah, Brinkus, he's that dude's. You got to be careful around him.
It sounded real to me, dude. I'm with you. So, what was the end result?
I don't know what's that. I don't know what to think. We haven't had anything happen, but my brother lived with us for a while. He was transitioning to a new home that he was buying. Not that transitioning.
Okay.
But he lived upstairs and he had lots of things happen. So I don't know. I haven't had anything for about 2 years, man. Like legitimate, like footsteps and stuff like that. But
I don't know why you'd want to live there.
It's a nice house, man.
Yeah,
it's a nice exciting. House. I get it, though. Our friends do not buy it. They're like, dude, I ain't into it. It's like Bigfoot. It's like, I believe in Bigfoot. I don't know why.
Really?
I do.
Oh, God damn it.
I'm in the Northwest. I'm in the Northwest every time I drive through that.
I say, if there isn't one now, there was.
Maybe.
There's too many reports of people
saying that. I say, show me a body. Yes. That's what I want.
Show me a fucking body, dude. There'd be a dead Bigfoot.
That's why I say,
where's the dead alien body? That would be my question. Everybody believes in aliens. Where's the body?
So, I'll default to Brinkus on this one. When he was on the show, he used to produce all those alien shows for Sci-Fi Channel. Yeah. And I asked him, and he goes, look, do I believe that there's crafts that have come and spaceships and shit like that? He goes, yes. I believe that somebody sent technology here and everything else. But he goes, if you mean to tell me there was a little person inside there that had to steer it, he goes, that I don't fucking buy.
They're like drones, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Even a drone is very unlikely, and here's why. Space is fucking big.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The closest star to us is, 2 million light years away or some shit like that?
Yeah.
So we've only been transmitting radio signals for about 120 years, give or take, right? Yep.
Right,
so
close to
that,
anything.
That's the only... So 120 light years away is as close as anybody could be and know that we even exist. Right, so that limits it a little bit. The other thing that limits it is just the vastness of space, generally speaking. So we used to think that there were a couple hundred billion stars, right, and per galaxy, and that there's maybe 100 billion galaxies. Now what we see is the known universe looks like it's about 2 trillion galaxies large, at least, if not larger than that. And each galaxy has somewhere between 1 and 400 billion individual stars inside of it. Now that's a 2 with 32 zeros. Behind it, that's how many stars there are in the known universe, and a certain number of stars have each galaxy has something like 10,000 planets, probably at a minimum that are in the quote unquote Goldilocks zone, which is to say close enough to their main star to have liquid water, far enough away where it's not scorched
perfect
all the
temperature,
time.
Right?
Yeah, right. The perfect temperature, the Goldilocks zone. So that's 10,000 times 2 trillion places, at least, where there could be life in the universe.
Got to start somewhere.
Fucking, of course there's other life.
One by one. Okay.
The only reason that people deny any of this stuff about alien civilizations is because it draws in the question, why do I exist then? Right? Mm. Am I not the center of the universe? And that's been the stupid, fucking dummy, Eurocentric nonsense that has fucked over science since before the Dark Ages started, obviously through the Dark Ages, all the way through the present, apparently, because people still think, well, we must be the center of something. Why?
No, I don't
look
care.
At your fucking face matter. In the mirror. Why would you be the center of anything?
I personally never understood the religious part of that, where people are saying, like, but that would go against God and all this. I'm like, why can't you create everything?
I
want to
see
alien
Jesus, man.
I do too.
What if it was?
That'd
be dope as shit.
Brandon Busby saying, look up Aegean, AEGEAN Airlines UFO.
I'm not doing all that.
Aegean.
No, fuck off. Obviously, I was going
to
mispronounce
it. I think the fun thing is it's interesting to talk about. Whether you agree or don't agree, I think it's an interesting topic. And we were stoked when the government was supposed to come out with this awesome paperwork. They ended up being like, we don't fucking know what's going on right now. There's some evidence, but
they were pretty close to saying, hey,
the intelligence community also released a document saying, oh, the findings on Wuhan were inconclusive. And then a couple of weeks later, it's like, well, no, here's another payment. Whoop. This Fauci guy gone full autocratic again today, right? Somebody asked him about, or some lady made, he was on a panel and some lady made a comment like, I can't believe there aren't, like you can just move around through the United States without a vaccine passport. He goes, yeah, we're seriously thinking about that. Like, oh, are you?
Yeah.
I've heard that for weeks and months now.
I wish that guy would get hit by a truck. Yeah. I'm all done with
Dude,
Fauci.
He's the fraud, man.
Someone would just replace him, though.
If we could replace him with Norm MacDonald somehow.
I know.
Even Norm MacDonald's dead body would be
there
better.
There might be technology
that.
For it, though.
Yeah. It would.
Biden's still alive. You know, all these guys are still alive. So, Clinton?
Is he still alive?
I don't think so, but we've talked about it.
Clinton looks like he's been dead for a while.
He might be a cyborg or some shit like
that.
Dude,
he does look
like
Ruth Bacon Cheeseburger. hamburger. What's
Dick
her name?
Dick Cheney's definitely
Supreme Court. What's her name? Ruth?
Oh, yeah. RBG, dude.
RBG. We call her Ruth Bacon Cheeseburger. That was all of her name because she was dead a long time ago. That was a robot.
Yeah. Maybe. Wow. That tough old broad made it, and I'll give her that.
Yeah.
I guess. It was her workout. They're mad at her now, though.
It was her freaking extreme workouts.
Dick Cheney.
The under boob sweat?
Yeah.
That's real, man.
Dick Cheney's also mostly machine at this point, right?
Is he? I haven't seen him in years.
Yeah, no one has, and no one should. Hopefully, he's fucking killed himself in the woods, wherever he is. Because I'll tell you, Sagar and Yeti made a good point about this on, what's today, Tuesday? I think he posted on Monday. He said, he's just talking about 9/11 and shit, like that day is for them, but 9/12 and 13, let's talk about who really started this. George W. Bush, Dick Cheney, Paul Wolfowitz, all these assholes, Condoleezza Rice, Colin Powell, all these people, they are responsible for thousands of Americans dead.
I can't
for
recommend,
no reason other than to make their fucking friends in the military-industrial complex rich.
And I can't recommend that Netflix doc enough. It is, I think I'm five parts through it, that new 9/11 one.
Yeah, I haven't heard about it.
It just goes through terror. Like, I mean, from 1980 on, 9/11 is the center of it, obviously. But then it goes all the way to now and how bad everything was fucked up and, like, Dan, you've talked about incompetence in our government for a very long time. It just goes through year by year by year for all the administrations, not just Bush and everyone else, how everyone fucked it up, including Obama, who put a bunch of troops there and was just like, all right, we're going to do this one thing. And they were like, hey, dude, do you have a plan? And there was all these memos going back and forth, and all these generals were like, hey, we never really got a fucking clear plan here of what we were doing.
Their plan with these surges was essentially the equivalent of being a child and trying to flip the light off and get in bed before the light turns off. That's what they wanted to do, right? They were like, oh, I got to get over here. And no, of course you can't do that. That's stupid. It's like gas fills the fucking volume of whatever container it's in. That's how it works. You know what I mean? You're not just going to fucking push these guys right quick and run out the door and slam it behind you. We're in a world. You know what I mean? They can just fucking.
Wasn't there some
new
documents, though, about 9/11 that just got released?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And they were saying that they knew about 12 hours.
The Saudi. Well, so there was a report 48 hours before done by an FBI agent in Phoenix, but that's not new information. And the one of the things they came that they, you know, I learned about this in school, actually, in college, studying Homeland Security. It's one of the reasons that the JTTFs, the Joint Terrorism Task Force, got created. Because that information couldn't travel from that FBI agent to the relevant authorities fast enough for them to do anything about it. And that's true. You could see the chain. But the thing you're talking about, they still haven't released the name of the Saudi embassy guy that had two of these assholes staying at his house. Two of the hijackers were living at his house. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Two of the facilitators were living at his house, right? Mm. There were two guys that had come over here years earlier. They were just hanging out, and it was two of the hijackers. They were funding those guys. Like, the money would come through these guys. And there's a Saudi embassy dude, and it's part of the lawsuit that's been filed by the families of the 9/11 survivors. So, 9/11 victims. The FBI fucked up, though, a couple of years ago and accidentally published the dude's name. They forgot to redact his name in one of the lines. Mm-hmm. So everybody knows who he is now. And I don't know where he is, but I hope somebody fucking kills him. Yeah. You know what I mean? You fucking kidding me? One of the people who fucking helped do 9/11 is just walking around out there.
Yeah. Chilling, yeah. Yeah. It might be down at Terry Black's, you know? Just getting some brisket right now. You never know.
Well,
I might have just lived my life. Actually, yeah.
Yes. Well,
so what do you think about the military and the passport? And so the vaccine passport and its effects on the military?
I mean, it depends on the military, I suppose, or what you mean by it. It's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out because you've got quite a dichotomy. And it's probably a dichotomy that is reflected throughout all of American society right now. You have this lieutenant colonel who is like, fuck this, resigns, loses everything because of it, right? And I'm sure he'll be fine in the end, but loses everything because of it. And then you have this staff sergeant in the Army, this female, that's like, if people fucking start going door to door, that's going to be me, and I'll fucking shoot you. Like,
I'll
first
point
of all,
my gun at you.
You've never held a gun in your life, obviously, right? You fucking dumb bitch. Secondly, Tobias Funke, anybody?
There you go.
Secondly, it is a good illustration, though, for how this younger generation of military people, I can't really speak for them. I don't know. I mean, I can, I know what people in the 82nd Airborne Infantry might think. I know what Marine Corps infantry people might think, but that's not, you're talking about 1/6 of the Marine Corps are shooters or something like that. And it's like 1/18 of the Army are shooters, right? Yeah. Those are people that joined because they wanted to go fight, which means they come from, they have a very specific ideology that drives that. It's usually like, I'm going to protect my family.
Yeah.
And people that are like that aren't woke. They just don't think that way. You know what I mean? There's those folks. The problem I'm seeing right now is that there's a fucking mass exodus about to happen, particularly from the special operations community.
Yep.
People are like, fuck this shit. We did all this work and you fucked us over. We could have ended this a long time ago. And then when we're pulling out, we have this at, we have the intel on this asshole. We've got a predator drone hovering above him. We have the ability to kill him before he goes and kills 13 of our fucking brothers. And you told us no. Right. It, yeah. I hate to trivialize it by quoting a fucking video game, but in the latest Call of Duty that the black kid that's a character in there says, he's complaining about having intel on an op, right? You know the opening scene where they're in the fucking downtown area? Have any of you guys played this game?
Haven't played
the opening scene, you're in a downtown area, and there's a terrorist attack. Goes fucking completely tits up. The kid, the young sergeant, finds out that they knew about it ahead of time but couldn't do whatever because of command or whomever else it was. And the phrase he used was, you can tell us where and when to fight, but not how. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that the special operations community takes very fucking seriously because they are experts at doing war. That's what they fucking do. You know what I mean? Nobody comes into the fucking mechanic's office and slaps the wrench out of his hand. So you're not going to come into our office and slap the gun out. And that's what's happened. And I think these dudes are just going to fuck off, to be honest. And I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens after that, because one of the most major military operations of the last 10 years happened 2 weeks ago, and a lot of the military operation part was done by fucking private civilians who were veterans who paid their own money to go over there.
Pineapple Express?
Well, they were a smaller part of it. The organization Tim was with was quite a bit larger than that, Tim Kennedy.
Yeah.
They ended up getting out, what, like 9,000 people, I think. Pineapple Express did a good job. They were like 500 or 600 people, and there was a couple other organizations. But either way, these dudes who are now private citizens, except for Tim, I guess, but most of them private citizens, they all spent their own money to go over there and fight on behalf of somebody else. It's the first time I've ever heard of anything like that happening.
It's badass.
Well, that's like the American way right there, man. Yeah. It's like, we need more of that kind of stuff, and it's sad that the government gets in the way of it. You know, we've at least heard that they've made it difficult for them to get people out, you know?
Absolutely, yes, that's correct.
So, yeah. I mean, I think it's interesting because, like, with us, like, I mean, I actually appreciate your military aspect because we're not veterans. You know what I mean? I wish I could say we were. We're not, you know? And so hearing that's
good. I mean, you can say it if you want.
Well, no, I'm not going
to. No, but
we're family guys, right? Like, each of us have three kids. Like, we're married. We do the family thing, you know, and that's our thing. So we look at, like, the schools, what's happening with the schools and the hospitals and the exodus of that, you know, that's going on with the mandates and even our jobs ourselves. We work full-time jobs. All of us do. So we're all in this position where everything's getting funky, and then the military's in that boat. Like, it feels like everything's falling apart.
Yeah.
And trying to, like, relay to people that, like, it's not, you know, the fight's not over, you know.
Well, sometimes you got to crack a couple eggs, you know what I mean? Like, this country's kind of founded on that principle that if shit's fucked up, you know, that tree of liberty gets refreshed.
Yeah.
And that's how it works. And I'm not talking about, like, a violent overthrow of the government. We've restructured the way we do business a number of times in this country. You know, we've gone immediately from the American Revolution right back in to supporting England against France in their fucking war, even though France helped us win our fucking revolution.
Yeah.
We've become non-interventionists, at least outside of the North American region during the Monroe Doctrine stuff, and then we got right back into it in World War II, right? Even though we had to be dragged a little bit into that situation. Now, during the Cold War, we went through these three stages of containment, detente, and rollback where you know, we are actively involved in all these micro wars all over the place, and then we accidentally get involved in some pretty big ones in Korea and fucking Vietnam, right? And then detente rolls, and we're like, hey, we're going to take it easy for a while. And then we go into rollback, which is where we're just going to outspend everybody, right? Yeah. And it all worked. We've changed the way we do business as a government quite a few times.
Well, I think the problem we have is we're changing definitions of everything, which makes it hard to do anything because the definition and modern culture.
That's 1984 shit, right?
Yeah.
So you start changing what words mean.
Yeah.
For those of you who haven't read 1984, maybe you should look into it.
It's interesting.
Right now, it would be basically like reading a fucking map.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
In 1984, instead of they tried to limit vocabulary, so instead of having the words good and bad, you would have good and ungood.
Yeah.
Right. So you have it's what do you call it? The front and back parts of words. I can't remember what the fucking word for that is right now. Anyways.
Nope.
Yeah, it's
polynomial instance.
No.
Nope.
Prefix and suffix.
Yeah, let's say prefix. Yeah.
Prefixes and suffixes. Super basically. Close on that one. Yeah. You have root words and then only prefixes and suffixes, and you don't have redundant adjectives and shit like that.
Yeah.
Like there's no good and great or any of that. It's just good.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. And that's one of the things that happens when people start. First, they come for your fucking voice, and then they come for your money, and then they come for your goddamn life, yep. Right? Now, they've come for the voice. Your people are getting shut down all over the country right now, not just in digital media, but their fucking jobs. They're being told what they can and can't yeah. say. Mm-hmm. They're losing careers because of what they believe, right? Now, they're coming for your fucking money because this new Biden deal mm-hmm. is tracking any purchase, any incoming or outgoing bucks. Traffic from any account that has at least $600 in it, not $600 transfers.
Yeah.
Any account that has $600 in it, every transfer it makes yep. is now going to get reported directly to the IRS. Why?
And when the bank said, we actually got an email, mm-hmm. A friend of mine sent an email from the bank that we all use.
Credit unions. Credit telling union. The government to go fuck itself.
Yeah. Right now. And so there's a lot to be concerned with, you know, with that. Yeah. It's not going to end. That's the problem is, isn't,
no.
you know,
they're doing
in,
this. They're doing this so they can fucking take their scrape. Once yep. they know yeah, what transactions yeah. are happening, they're going to put a fucking, oh, well, this there's like 40% of the transactions that happen right now are this kind of transaction. Let's just do a tax on that transaction. Mm-hmm. That's
exactly.
what happens. Yeah. First, they come for your voice, then they come for your money, and then they come for your goddamn life. I'm telling you, man. Shit's getting fucking real around yep. here. You need to start getting suited up.
Well, and in between that, too, once they implement that tax on how much you is coming in or out in your bank account, they're also going to, maybe they start regulating what you can and can't buy.
Or yeah. maybe they just start pulling money out of your accounts to account
I mean, the
for
IRS
taxes,
already does that.
Spread it out
you have
to everybody
to
else.
Fight them to get it back yeah. in the end. So.
But then you have to be able to pay an attorney to fight them
100%.
To get it back.
100%. And a lot of people aren't going to do that. No. It could turn into fucking chaos.
Well, they were saying Nigeria. We just watched the one of the head of states there yeah. or whatever he was. But he was saying they're going to lock up bank accounts, man, if you're not vaccinated. So it's. I mean, the banks, that's where everybody gets shut down if they take
yeah.
the banks away.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll find out. Either way, gentlemen, it was a pleasure having you on the show
yes.
today.
Thanks for being here.
We'll go out and get some Texas barbecue here mm-hmm. in oh, a boy. Second. This is the point of the show. We get to the Drinking Bro of the Week. We'll give it out to Norm MacDonald this week. We've actually tried to get him on the show numerous times over the years, and they were super cool about it. They were like, look, if you guys are in the same town, he's totally down, and we did not know about the cancer. I don't think anybody knew about it. But as people are always polite to us, and we just wanted to do the darkest show on the planet, and there's no one who does dark better than Norm MacDonald, maybe David Tell or somebody like that. But Norm MacDonald was one of the best, man, and he was my favorite on SNL on the Weekend Update. So I love the way he did it. Hide that shit and then just fucking die. Like, yeah. you know? Let the comedy speak for itself, and it definitely did. Tell everybody where they can find Pardon My American, because it's not on Spotify.
Sure. PardonMyAmerican.com.
There you go.
And we're on YouTube. We're on Apple iTunes.
Instagram.
So, yes.
Perfect. Welcome to the network, boys.
Excited,
I know you guys
you.
Got your first sponsor yesterday.
Yep.
Looking forward to hearing that.
Yep.
Subscribe to Pardon My American on any platform that they are actually given.
Yeah.
We don't know what's going to happen. They're going to take our voices soon. But in the meantime, you can still subscribe, rate the show a 5-star, and leave a quick review. And do the same with Drinking Bros Podcast as well. For D'Anthony Holloway, I am Ross Patterson. This is Pardon My American. Good night, everyone.